Hello.
Hello, welcome, Uwe Ball. How are you?
Good. Everything is white and full of snow here. I just came from like tobogganing with Walter. So it's after a few years, the first year where he has actually snow for like a week already, and where you can do this. We all thought because of global warming it will never happen again, but it's there. So,
Yeah, that's great. Anything else been going on? I saw the first shift announcement at the film festival.
yeah. So there is a film festival in America. What will play first shift in Iowa? What was it, in Iowa or
Oh,
Ohio? I think it's in
okay.
Ohio. So that is good. And then in Germany, Michael Roche's Kino Star was on a big trade show where all the exhibitors go, and he promoted our theatrical release in Germany and for June. And a lot of theaters like the trailer and want to book the film, but it's very positive. And I hope, of course, in June is also the North America release with Quiver, that they will also do a similar thing to the exhibitors, and that they trying to get as many theaters as they can get, you know, and not like, oh, we do 10 theaters and call it a day. If they want to play it, let them play it. So, you know, I mean, in today's time, you don't need 35 millimeter prints anymore shipping to the movie theater. It's way cheaper to put a DCP there, you know, it's like $2. So I mean that is the thing. I hope that they're not doing this kind of alibi release, you know, that they can say, oh, we had a theatrical release with the film, what a lot of times happens in today's time. So I really hope that they try their best also in the US to get as many screens as possible.
Yeah, because it is a very theatrical film, I feel, and I think that it needs to be seen on the big screen. I agree.
CinemaScope, like widescreen, it fills the real screen, you know, like doesn't feel like a streamer film on big screen. It's a real theatrical. We shot it on purpose in that large format. So yeah, I got a new chair and it's squeaky. Wait one second, I put that chair over here. In any podcast now I have to exchange that chair with an old non-movable chair. People were already flipping out on me on my videos on YouTube,
Yeah,
like
I
you.
remember you had the squeaky chair.
Yeah, this is scheiße. And yeah, and then we are in prep of my film Run, what we shoot in April in Croatia. I made various offers to various actors, and hope I don't want to tell everybody who said no. So, but hopefully, we will get a few actors attached soon, and we can talk about it in our overall Raw, you know. So, yeah. So
Yeah,
if we,
very exciting. And in
yeah,
April, I'm getting married. Hopefully, you can
I know.
join the live stream.
That I will definitely do, but I will not make it over there because in April I'm shooting the film. Oh, that is the thing. It's like I don't know what. So, what time of the day is the wedding actually?
It's at 1 p.m. in Las Vegas time, so I'll have to figure out what time that is over there in
10 p.m.
Croatia.
Yeah, but 10 p.m. I can do it because we shoot only daytime. We have two night shoots, but normally at 10 p.m. when I'm in Croatia, that should work. So,
Awesome.
and yeah, let's talk about politics.
So
The
yeah, freaking Nikki Haley is attacking Trump and saying that he's not mentally fit to run because he confused her for Nancy Pelosi repeatedly in one of his like speeches at his like campaign stops or whatever.
You know what is funny? If everybody votes for Trump because they think Biden is unfit, and then and as soon Trump is president, he turns into Biden part two. Because I mean, you know, in this age, a mental decline like a dementia like at least a little bit dementia, is realistic. You know, my mother had it, like when she was like 78, her cognitive, like remembering things, evaporized more and more and more. My father not, he stayed like sharp till the end, basically. But you never know with Trump when he's losing his ability to really see what's going on. Right now, I don't have the feeling he is senile or losing his shit. I think he is full there, you know. But a guy like this, you don't know how like his body, you know, like I mean, he is the perfect candidate for a heart attack. And so far, nothing happened to him. But you know, it's a friend of mine, his father died yesterday. He went himself, he drove to the hospital, and then he died 3 days later because his heart was completely dysfunctional. It was not even a heart attack, but it was like basically he felt basically apart in the hospital within 3 days and died. So in that age, things can very easily go completely sideways very fast. He can drop down dead any minute.
Yeah, Trump is old people. I think that he does a lot of stuff like the stuff with the hair to try and like look younger, but I mean, eliminate the hair and you've got like a really old man who we're probably going to see die in our lifetimes. We're going to see him die in our lifetime. And like yeah, you're right. Like all the stress and strain that he's going through is going to have some kind of a cognitive effect on him, but I don't know. Like he is old. I mean, he's like what? How many years younger than Biden or something? Like 2 years younger?
2 years, yeah, and
Fucking crazy.
5 years, and I mean, it is really idiotic that two old people battling it out. And I watched Bill Maher on Friday after the winter break. He's back, right? And he had Gavin Newsom there. And I mean, and I even said it also in my video I released yesterday in German language, but I said, everybody knows that if the Democrats will run with any candidate against Trump, they will win as long as it's a younger candidate. They will win it, you know. But if they go with Biden, Trump will win. And that is basically, everybody says that the chance that Trump wins the election is way bigger if he goes against Biden, as against a younger Democrat. And I don't know why they do that. Why is they go that risk? They're writing every day in the news, if Trump gets elected, it will be a dictatorship. The NATO will fail. Everything falls apart. But you know, like whatever. So, and he will basically destroy the democracy. And maybe that, maybe all of this doesn't happen. But the reality is, if you really think that happens, how can you go then that risk? How can you not tell your president, Biden, you had a good first term, you're in politics since 50 years, please move? It's like we cannot have that risk that you drop down dead, or that in the TV duel with Trump, you forget who you are. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know? It's.
I don't know. I don't know why they went with Biden this time. That's a good question,
Yeah.
but
Nothing against Biden, right? I don't think Biden was a great president, but I also think Biden was not a bad president. And you know, but it's this kind of like, how can they go that risk that everything falls apart if Trump gets back reelected? Because he will not play fair, you know?
yeah,
So.
Trump has said the reason, the thing with the NATO, like Trump said to the people on the council from other countries, he said, we're gonna leave NATO. He like threatened all this stuff, and I think that that's his plan. He said to them that like if they got attacked, the United States would not protect them, and all this other crazy shit. And I would be really scared to make an agreement with the United States because politics makes things shift one way or the other. Things could change. You could have an agreement and then look at Iran. You know what I mean? Like you could have an agreement with another country and then somebody else comes into power and then suddenly they change the agreement or they renege the agreement. You know what I mean? It's like it's really unstable and unpredictable, and I wish that there was more consistency when we, as the United States, if we made our choice, we should stick with it. Even if we, the next leader doesn't necessarily agree with it, if it's become precedent, and we've made an agreement with another country, don't just fucking change the agreement. You know what I mean? Like, let's have some reliability.
And especially don't change things based on how you slept last night. The NATO was formed after the Second World War to build something against the Warsaw Pact threat from the Russians and all the occupied Eastern German territories they took after the Second World War. We shouldn't forget the defeat of Germany from the Allies and from Russia didn't had as a result that the Allies, like the US and Britain, stayed in Germany or Italy or Spain, all the supporting countries from Austria, from Nazi Germany. So they put everybody back in position and they let the countries rule themselves again. But Russia not. Russia took Finland, Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary, Yugoslavia, and put their puppets into the government, and Eastern Germany, of course, and basically kept all that countries under full ironclad control. And that fell apart after Gorbachev took over, and the economy destroyed the Eastern socialist bloc. And so they were bankrupt and the people revolted and they flipped out. And it's the only reason the wall came down in the end, because their economy situation was in the toilet. And the West was working good together and the NATO was protecting them. And at the same time, the EU formed and the trade agreements. So, I mean, that was the short story now from after the Second World War till now. To omit the NATO is, to be honest, it would be not the end of the world. It would be like, okay, then Europe forms a defense pact,
But
UK.
it would look so bad for the United States. It would make us look completely unreliable,
Totally.
and it's bullshit. We would not be the world power anymore, you know?
And it would also, of course, let's say the US has only the US, has no NATO. Then what the problem is in the US is whoever is the president could just do wars out of his ass. He could just say, "Yeah, fucking Honduras, too many immigrants." So, yeah, but I mean, in reality, there is no stoppage outside. If you're not counsel with the NATO anymore, if you don't have this kind of meetings, security meetings, if you don't exchange all the informations, what the NATO and like the CIA in America exchanges with the BND in Germany, with the MI5 and all that other agencies in Europe, all of this would go away, right? The CIA has here in Wiesbaden, right where I live, like 15 kilometers away, the biggest headquarter outside of US, like the central CIA headquarter
Wow.
for Europe. And there's also the FBI in Wiesbaden, because there's also the BKA, the German FBI is also in Wiesbaden. Good friend of mine works there since 28 years. So, and he is also the biggest, also in Wiesbaden, the biggest military American airport in the world outside of the US. From here, the flights went to Afghanistan. From here, the flights went to Syria and stuff like this. So, if you step out of the NATO, you have to leave.
Oh boy.
I mean, that's the whole point, that we are in the same team, that all of this exists. And Trump could say it costs too much money, bye-bye. You know, but on the other hand, the US, as the US military always said, is we have a lot of benefits, that we are so strong in Europe, that we are integrated there, and that we have like a base there.
So basically, like, if we left NATO, like, our ability to get information globally would be severely, like, limited and hampered.
Yes, because you don't know anymore, like, who you. Let's say you have the English, the French, the German governments getting gathering information about terrorism, or whatever, right? So, but if you think in the White House is a maniac, and you have a chance to not share the information, you will not give them the information anymore. If you're part of the NATO, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, so that is the big difference. And I mean, it would be definitely weaken the whole Europe and North America Western front against the dictatorships from China, from Russia. It would weaken it drastically.
And people need to understand that's what Trump represents. Is he's gonna, our country will be weakened severely from the inside if he wants to dismantle the FBI, you know.
Yeah.
Removing these protections from our society is going to have catastrophic effects. If you care about crime, if you care about any of that, if you care about the rule of law, Trump is going to dismantle as much of that as he can and replace it with like a totalitarian state. Like, he said that he wants to, if there were, you know, protests once he got elected, that he would call in the National Guard to deal with them. And that's fucked up, to attack his own people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just to create like silence, to make an example. We live in a free fucking country, and that does not stand. Just because he's saying things that some of the people out there might agree with doesn't mean he has the right to, you know, violate all sorts of federal protections that we've had, trying to dismantle it, not paying attention to it, not caring about the rule of law. He represents horrible things for our country, and I'm really scared. I don't want him to be president. We talk about Biden and shit. Like, I'm going to vote for Biden. I'm going to vote for him anyway, just because what Trump represents is so ghastly and so fucking, it's going to hurt us. It's going to take us back.
And think about also, he still makes that was good in the Bill Maher show. Bill Maher show in the last bit, he said, why we cannot, like, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, right? You cannot have, he said, shoplifters in San Francisco, like, stealing, and nobody stops them. Or you have Trump, and he showed Trump in a rally where he said, if you're a shoplifter, you should get shot, right? So, and Bill Maher said, both is wrong. And that is where the nation stands. You know, we are now living in a society where both sides are completely extreme bullshit. The one is total woke cancel culture, only busy with racism and other total bullshit, instead of economy, world peace, climate change, whatever. They are like, you cannot stop the shoplifter because it's his right too. Like, this kind of thinking is insane.
Yeah.
So, and because there was a supermarket owner who stopped a shoplifter and got caught, and of course he tackled him down, right? And he got fired for it. That was in the last Bill Maher show. And you feel like, yeah, that is insane. He should get like a promotion because he stopped the shoplifter. But no, he violated the right of the shoplifter to shoplift. And so, you know, that is totally bullshit, totally wrong. And this drives voters to Trump. But Trump is not reasonable.
Right? Yeah, you know, I mean,
like, everybody should get the gun. And then if a shoplifter who steals like Kellogg's cornflakes gets shot in the head, there will be no consequences. What means you can murder people as you go If you're like a radical psycho working in the supermarkets, then you can just shoot people and put something in their pocket after. So, I mean, that is the thing. There are reasons why laws exist and why you should follow laws. And there are already in the US a lot of things in an absurd way, completely sideways, right? Compare with Europe, with the right-wing parties here in Europe. Not one of the right-wing parties, Meloni or whatever the name is here in Italy, who got elected, or Le Pen in France, who lost elections, or the AfD in Germany, who is not in the government. They never questioned the vote. They never questioned it. When the results coming in, they accepted it and say, fuck it, why we didn't get enough votes to rule. So, you know, or Meloni, I got elected, and the other parties accepted it. In Europe, you have a right-wing uprising 100% because of too much migration. But they are not so crazy as Trump because they still follow the law. You know, they say by the book, by the rule, we want less migrants. We don't want them here. But they don't say we shoot now all migrants, you know, or whatever. We give a shit what is the law. We just give nobody asylum anymore. Stuff like this. So Trump is far behind that already, you know, because he's not a right wing. Trump is not a right wing. Trump is a classical, lonely dictator who doesn't give a shit about all his secretaries he put in position. They have nothing to say. Nothing. They're all like puppets. And we saw that in his first term. What would
his second term will look worse.
Yeah. How many people he exchanged or quit? Like when you're the Secretary of Interior, the Secretary of Labor, the Secretary whatever, you know that you have nothing to say. Whatever you want to put in place, if he has a bad day, he will just omit it and throws you out. And if people want this kind of ruler or whatever, then they're out of their mind. I mean, that is the thing. It's like I said various times that he wants to finish the Ukraine war, that he wants to pressure Putin and Zelensky making a deal, and that he wants to pull the support for Ukraine because it's the only way to make Zelensky basically giving Putin something. So I think that is the right way to do it. I'm with him there. I think to just pump more and more weapons into Ukraine and hope for an endless war is bullshit. It's like it brings nothing to nobody, especially also not to the Ukrainians who want to live. So that is the thing where I'm totally with Trump. Right. And so there are individual things where I think also you cannot have 1 or 2 million migrants coming over the border every year. It's too much. It has to get stopped. And you need a different approach, similar to Europe. You need a different approach. You have to stop that mass migration from Africa into Europe. And so you have to stop it on the southern border in the US. I'm not totally against Trump's. And I think if he solves problems like this, good. But it's the overall situation that you basically now, as a citizen, completely powerless. And of course, the only good thing is he's old. If he's doing that term, he will be dead. Like, I mean, it's not like he's then a dictator forever because he's now 40 years old. So, and maybe after the 4 years, Trump thinks getting back by the book. But in that 4 years, he will do random decisions who are completely just off, you know, where you think like, why you do this? Like, what's the point of it? You know, and of course he will try to pocket as much money as possible for him and his family, and will do a lot of favors to his friends, and everybody else gets completely destroyed.
Yeah, you know, we have to remember Trump is a criminal.
Yes,
he did try to stop a peaceful transfer of power. Yeah, he's a bad person, and all of the people out there who think that all of these lawsuits against him are some kind of conspiracy need to know the truth. The truth is, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a coincidence. He, the law, Republicans are supposed to be the party for the law and order, for the rule of law and order. What Why is it that Trump gets a pass? You know,
Yeah, exactly. Why is
Trump.
he in jail? I mean, that is still the scandal that he's still not in jail. They prosecuted him for tons of shit, and he was not one day in jail. Rudy Giuliani
Yeah.
went, you know, Roger Stone this week. I mean, he went to jail too, but you saw the tapes coming out from Roger Stone where he said, like, we have to shoot political opponents, like we have to kill them before the election. He's on tape saying this. And
Yeah.
I mean, but that shows how far people like this would go. They would not say, look, first of all, the Constitution and the Book of Law, and everybody has, you have to honor and respect everybody's privacy and freedom of speech and of expression. And all of this, Trump doesn't believe in. He doesn't believe in all of this. He believes in, I should rule and you do what I tell you, or you will be done.
Yeah, there's a lot, there's rumors that people who are Republicans have been blackmailed. Like there was one Republican senator who said that he believes that a lot of his colleagues have been secretly blackmailed, and that's why they fell in line so easily to Trump. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and look, the Russ Manian, whatever the guy who stepped out of the race now, he endorses Trump now because he hopes he gets a government function. You know?
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So pathetic. People riding the coattails trying to just like kiss ass to get a political gain. That's such fucking bullshit.
But behind, he works already on DeSantis and also Nikki Haley. Because look, if one of them put like steps back and puts their support behind Trump too, the it's over.
I don't think either one of them will. I think that Haley already said vice president's out. She criticized Trump's mental acuity, so she's out. And DeSantis has too much pride to apologize or kiss Trump's ring or whatever. So
No,
I don't know.
those are not too old. They can run in 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the primaries, whatever, are over. They are over. I think there's no way that Trump is not the candidate.
But what about if the Supreme Court says that he can't run because he did surmount an insurrection?
Yeah, no, but look at the Supreme Court. They are already his puppets.
I know, that's what's so fucking scary. Like any logical person would find that Trump can't run. But we have like Clarence Thomas and fucking that other guy, I can't even remember his name.
Gorsuch.
Yes, Gorsuch or whatever, and fucking Kavanaugh. Like, I don't know. Amy Coney Barrett. I don't trust any of these people to do the right thing, and to not be sucked into party line bullshit. And the decisions that they make are going to shape this country for generations to come. It's a really frightening thing. It's a frightening time. And I understand conservatives want the country to be back into like a more secure place like it used to be, but I don't know. I, like you said, I think it has to be between two places, like a compromise that I don't see coming. I don't see it coming.
No, and look, in Germany, there are now tons and tons of demonstrations on the road since a week or 10 days against right wing, like mostly AfD, the party. And the government, who is in the polls on 20% support, 80% are against them and against the policies they're doing. And I'm one of them. This government in Germany is a horrible, horrible disaster. And the only answer they have, that even in the parliament had a debate, is to discredit the AfD as a bunch of Nazis who want to gas everybody. So, but it's not true. That is the
Yeah.
thing. So, but they were able to amass the masses of whatever, 50,000 in Cologne, 80,000 in Berlin, 20,000 in Munich, even in Mainz were like 5,000 here where I live on the road. Oh, no more Nazis, no, whatever, right? And they don't getting it that they're getting played by the government with a propaganda machine. Because the reality is that there are 100% Nazis in Germany, but it's like 1 or 2% of the population. And it's maybe 10% of the voters for the AfD are right-wing Nazis. But the reality is also that 80% of the AfD or 90% of the AfD, including their members, are not Nazis at all. They just have a different political opinion. They, for example, want not too many African Islamic migrants. And they want that they actually have to leave Germany when they get denied asylum. So, and that is what 70% of the German population want, including me. We cannot have 350,000 Muslims coming every year into Germany. It's enough. So it's because there is a huge cultural difference. Like they are like against women rights. They want to kill all the gays and LGBT people, whatever. Like they are the opposite of being liberal. They don't want to have our rules. They're coming here and making another society. They're making another, they're bringing their rules here and live by it. And they terrorize people running around, and we have more knife attacks. We have more crimes since they're here. So, and I'm totally there with the AfD. You cannot say to somebody, "We deny your asylum," and then he still stays and still gets support. And you think like, "But what the fuck? For what then? We said you cannot stay here. I mean, then just skip it, and everybody who comes can stay." But that whole point, like that whole process of checking out, did the guy has is a political refugee or whatever, right? That is all bullshit. If you then, if the result of this has no impact, yeah? So if everybody stays here, we have 350,000 coming in every year and 10,000-15,000 getting out. That is the quota. And so, I mean, every idiot was able to put the numbers together sees that this cannot work, especially if they're social services and free health care. And the Germans are mad. They say, like, we don't want that anymore. The schools are full with kids. Nobody speaks any, not even English. They're speaking all Arabic and whatever, Somali. So it's total bullshit. Our schools suck now because there is too much chaos and too much kids without any skills and language and whatsoever. So, and that is the thing. And the second thing what the AfD said, where I'm also totally with the AfD, is they want to finish the Ukrainian war under all like circumstances. You know, we want peace. And we know we're not getting peace if we give Russia nothing. So they have to keep the territories they have. And we have to drop the sanctions because we want cheap gas, because the German economy suffers from that shit, that we don't get cheap Russian gas and have to buy all the other gas from Qatar and so on. So, and the AfD is dead on with it. We cannot continue this stupid war. Germany is the biggest spender after the US into that war in weapons and money, and it has to stop. It hurts us. We need a relationship with Russia, at least a trade relationship. So that is the reality. And the government is blindly pumping money and weapons into the Ukraine. And they actually say only the victory matters. And every expert says Russia will never lose that war. It's impossible. You know, and I mean, it's crystal clear why it's impossible, because the Russians have 2,800 nuclear bombs. They can finish the Ukraine tomorrow. So what do you say? That Putin just says, "Oh, fuck, I'm losing by." I mean, it's total absurd. Look at Putin. You really think he will keep his face? He will lose his life if he is moving out of the Ukraine in a defeat. He will be done. And that will never happen. So you need to give him something. You know, I mean, that is that Zelensky went to that Davos Economy Forum and said, "Here's our peace proposal," right? The peace proposal was the Russians leave and pay them reparation payments, and Putin goes to jail. I mean, what the fuck is that? I mean, that is like You know, I mean, it's totally
Yeah,
absurd.
it's a non-starter. Like that's like that sounds like a terrible deal.
Yeah, exactly. There is no deal in it. It's the total defeat, you know, and that is like what you can do. Let's say you have a classical movie standoff and you have John Wayne and two others alone in a saloon, all alone. They only have a Winchester. And around the saloon, around the little building, you have 8,000 soldiers with machine guns, hand grenades, and cannons. And you tell these three guys, you come out or you're dead. So, but that is not the case in the Ukraine. In the Ukraine is they're actually losing the war. They are get the Russians getting stronger. The Russians have more soldiers, more weapons, and buying weapons all the time and producing weapons all the time. And the support for the Ukrainian government is dwindling away and will come to a total standstill after Trump gets elected. So how Zelensky can be so fucking stupid not to, under all circumstances, try to make a deal now where he still has the support? You know, it's ridiculous. It's almost absurd. And our government is completely blindsided on this, like, illusion that you can defeat Putin and throw him out if you give 100 more tanks to the Ukraine and 50 more rockets and 5,000 more drones, and then they will throw Russia out. That is it. This is, I mean, you know, it's insane. It's just.
Yeah, it makes me feel uneasy that there's no like. I agree with Mike Johnson, which sounds really strange, when I say, like, let's have like a game plan. Let's have an end game in sight. Let's have some kind of, like look at the Star Wars trilogy. They didn't write all three at once. They kind of wrote each one individually, and then they didn't know where they were going. And it ended up a shit show. It ended up being terrible. So, like, in the war, we should kind of have a treatment. Like, we should know where we're going. We should have a game plan. We should have kind of an end game in sight. Know what the point is. Know what the plan is. Like, right now, it's just endless. It's like a cycle. You know
Yes.
what I mean?
Look at the Vietnam War or the Afghanistan War. There was no end game.
Yeah.
It's just like we're invading it now. We find Osama bin Laden. And then 20 years later, what the fuck? You know, I mean, it didn't make any, or in Vietnam, it was like we helped South Vietnam against North Vietnam. That was the idea, right? And then it completely went sideways into we are not helping anybody anymore. We're losing instead completely control. And I mean, you can watch Apocalypse Now on the Deer Hunter or Platoon, and you get a little taste for the completely insanity that nobody knew anymore what we're doing, what for what we were fighting, and also exactly how you said, how that should end. If you would ask in the beginning of the Vietnam War, what is the game plan? We're going in, we help, we push the North Vietnamese back, and it's over. That was maybe the game plan. Like 4 years later, the game plan was how can we survive? Like, what the fuck is happening here? You know? And if you know you cannot win, then it's better to finish a war as fast as possible. The same was in Afghanistan. Instead, we spent hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in this wars without any idea how we can ever get out of it. Then it's only we stay in because we don't want to lose face. You know, like we don't lose our face, like that the people think, what the fuck are you doing? So, and I think Ukraine is exactly in that situation. They know they cannot get the territories back. It's over. There are
Well,
millions.
they still say they want the Krim, though.
Yeah, I know they want it all, but welcome in the real world. Your enemy, you know, if Ukraine's enemy would be Moldavia, you could say, okay, if we give them more weapons, in the end, Moldavia is toast. But the enemy is Russia, the biggest country in the world in regards of size, with one of the biggest armies. They built most of their weapons themselves. They even fly to the moon and do satellites, and they have the biggest arsenal of nuclear weapons from all the countries in the world, and they have a lot of friends like China, North Korea, they give them, and Iran, giving them more weapons and support. So how you can think, if you're sane as Ukraine, that we defeat them? Like how they, I mean, the only hope you could have is that Putin gets murdered, or that Putin dies. And somebody else takes over who says, oh, we're so sorry, we're removing the troops. But if that is your hope and your only hope, you should better try to wrap it up in giving some concessions here. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just like it is a bad situation. And I said that the whole time, you know, it's a bad situation. And it's also a bad situation for refugees if they're from Latin America or from Africa. But at the same time, you also have to see you cannot bring the stability of your own country in a total risk. You know, there was a reason years ago I told you, like Germany in Winter, that film what I wrote would never get done. But the reality is that was exactly what will happen. What I wrote is exactly what will happen if we continue taking 300,000 Muslims in every year. It will be murder and mayhem. The German population will start burning down the asylum homes, and the right corner people will take over. And as earlier you try to, with normal measures, with human measures, with not like inhuman measures, control migration, integrate them better, make them work for the money they're getting. As earlier you start with it, as more peaceful and successful it goes. But if you just put them in and you pay them 2,000 bucks a month and they're just sitting there, have nothing to do besides turning into drug gangsters, and then you have the German population, they say, oh, I'm working 40 hours a month and I also make only 2,000 bucks. I hate the fucking migrants. I want their money, whatever. If this continues, that is exactly the situation what's happening right now. If this continues in Germany, there will be a violent uproar and attacks against asylum homes, like really big attacks. And that is what they don't get. It's like that is this government, they think you can control the masses and they will never do stuff like this, but it's wrong. They will do stuff like this. They will get super violence against the migrants. It will happen 100%. You can mark my words that this will happen. And
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because it's in concept, letting a small amount of migrants in might have not overwhelmed the system. But
sure.
once the system gets overwhelmed, that's when you have to have some kind of emergency measure to like s shut it down or stop it temporarily while you reassess and figure out what you did wrong, not keep everything going in the meantime. While you're trying to figure it out, because, like you said, and I agree here in the United States, it's the same thing. Like, we're being overrun by the numbers that the system can't handle. And as a result, these people are being neglected and they're not being inundated properly into our society to understand basic things as rules or how to act socially. Like, these people need to be re-educated from the ground up, and it takes time and it takes resources to do that. So we need to like, I do agree that the migration issue and the border issue is something that needs to be looked at. It needs to be looked at pretty badly. And I understand the United States here, you know, liberty, we were built on migrants, blah, 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 all that stuff. That's great, but the system was not designed to handle the amount, the numbers that are coming through.
Yes, it's too much. There's the thing, like US is way bigger size-wise as Germany, right? It has three times more population. And of course, it's like at least 15 times bigger as in Germany. So in Germany, you have like 84 million people in a way smaller territory. So we see everybody of us sees non-stop migrants and asylum homes. In US, they are like spread out, you know, but is exactly how you say it. Like in earlier years, they all found jobs. They all were like, whatever, working, right? I mean, take the Mexicans out of California. California is dead. So, but that is not the case anymore. It's proven already that a lot of people, especially from Honduras, from El Salvador, are gang members. It's fact. And that they control the drugs and they bring drugs everywhere. And they are in street gangs and whatever. The crime in US in specific cities also got way bigger based on illegal migration.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a fact. And you're not a left, you're not a, it's the question is not like, are you left or right, Democrat or Republican? It's like, are you a balloony or not? You want to address the facts how they are or not? And if you address the facts, you really need to see that. And as you said, the system is then tired out. There's no housing. You know, you go to the doctor, there are 20 people in front of you wherever you go. Stuff like this, that the schools are overwhelmed. That is the problem.
You know, in a way, I kind of hope that Mike Johnson gets what he's demanding, that they're saying that the funding for the Ukraine is tied to border reform. And maybe what the Republicans are asking is extreme, but something has to be done now. So I get where they're coming from. And if they stick to their guns, then maybe the Democrats won't will say, okay, sure, and something will actually get done. That would be wonderful. Right now, they're kind of like playing chicken. Like, there's a very small amount of time to fund the Ukraine, and the Republicans are holding it back, tying it to the border reform. So let's see what happens. I'm very interested how this plays out.
Yeah. Okay, I think we are on the end. And yeah, we will continue checking out what's going on in politics this year. A lot of elections also in Germany, local elections, but also the European Parliament elections, the US election. And it will be a very intense year.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy 2024. And guys, you see on Twitter or X that we are selling a whole bunch of old Uwe Boll movies. If you live in Germany, you know, it would be best. But if they're all PAL, from what I understand, they're not NTSC. If you live in another country and you want to pay for the shipping, then great. It might be expensive, but that's not a problem. So, like, contact us. There's a whole list of movies, like the postal soundtrack, posters, some really cool stuff. Check it out, and we will see you guys next time, okay?
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Take care.